Simple to grow, fast to grow, useful not only in salads but also as a cooked vegetable. There's an awful lot to be said for carrots in the garden. Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 88 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Well, today we are talking all about carrots. Carrots are something of an anomaly for me, or they were for quite a long time. They were this mysterious vegetable that everybody would refer to as simple, and everywhere I looked would tell me was simple, but we just really struggled. We could not grow them for love nor money, and we actually gave up for a few years. This was going back where we had a very small vegetable patch in our old garden. This was before we really got into it like we are now. And every year, or every year for a few years running, my wife would attempt to grow carrots, and we would enjoy them greatly, but they would come in really quite spindly, like hooked claw chicken feet, and just look quite ridiculous and not be very thick. They would almost always fork, and when a carrot forks, what that means is the root doesn't form one nice big long finger of a carrot, if you like, but it forks and forms two or more fingers. And while there's nothing wrong with this, insofar as whatever it is you are actually getting out the ground is still perfectly edible, it just means that you're getting a lot less usable vegetable for the amount of work involved, because it's that little bit extra to clean it and deal with it and process it and eat it and things like that, rather than having one nice big long thick root. And the actual yield itself was actually also not what we might have hoped. So after several years of this, we kind of gave up. Now I must stress that at this point, this was almost all my wife's work, and I'm not disparaging that at all, but it's not something that we spent a lot of time thinking about and researching. We would plant some seeds, direct sow everything, and hope for the best. And then we would just yield whatever we yield at the end of the season. Since then, obviously, we've done a lot more thinking and a lot more reading about everything that we do. But not least among them is carrots. So I think I'm going to just share with you everything that I've come to understand about the ubiquitous carrot. It's a really common vegetable. We see it on menus in restaurants, it's always in the supermarket, and it can be a really simple one to grow. So the first thing to say is just to familiarize ourselves with the actual plant itself. Now, a carrot is a biennial, which means it has a two-year life cycle. Now, when we grow them as annuals, we harvest them at the end of the first year. Now, that is when the root is nice and big and succulent and delicious. Much with a lot of the wild items that we might forage, things like burdock, which is also a biennial, it's a two-year plant, and when we're after the root, it's at the end of that first year that we really want the root, when it's put all its energy into building that root, because that's what a biennial does. Basically, in the first year, it spends all the available resources it has by photosynthesizing with its greenery above ground and collecting nutrients with its roots, and it puts all of that energy into the root. The idea being that that root will then overwinter, and the following year will use all the energy that is stored to shoot up a flowering stem that will then go and run to seed. Now, in the second year, if you have left carrots, you'll notice that the roots become very, very woody and not particularly tasty. So at this point, you don't want to be harvesting. The only time you would leave a carrot deliberately to go into a second year would be if you were going to be saving it for seed. Now, a note of caution here that carrots, domestic carrots, will cross-pollinate quite readily with their wild carroty cousins. And while wild carrot is perfectly edible, and I've actually done a video on identifying it, it's not something that is particularly sought after for the root, because that root is generally a little bit woody, not particularly flavoursome, and certainly not as delicious as the sort of carrots that we would buy the seeds of. So a little note of caution there, and your carrot plant will actually cross-pollinate with anything similar that's growing within about a mile or so. So it's definitely one to bear in mind if you're considering saving the seed. It's not something we do. We buy our carrot seeds. And the silver lining to that cloud is that a packet of carrot seeds goes an awful long way because they're such a tiny, tiny seed. So we are quite prepared to buy our carrot seeds and one packet. We don't worry too much about the use-by dates on our packets of seeds, but particularly not with carrots. And we tend to buy a rather large packet, about 1,500 seeds in a packet, so it will last us at least 3 growing seasons. So that's a little bit about the background of what the carrot plant is and saving seeds and what have you. Next up, we're going to be talking about when you plant carrots and how. You can find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel. We also have our website. And now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out. So you can start sowing carrots anytime from around your last frost date. Because they don't germinate immediately, you can actually get them in a week or two before your last frost date and then succession plant throughout the season. Now, your carrot plants will do fine from, well, it depends where you are, obviously, but from roughly your last frost date right through until when you're going to get frost again. That's the time at which they're really going to shut down again for the winter and stop growing. So you want to make sure that you get your last lot of carrot plants in the ground a good, 8 to 10 weeks before whenever you're expecting frost, because that's when you're going to really get the most out of your plants. Once the frost has come, they're going to stop growing and the smaller plants will just die. So it's not worth planting them right up until the frost comes. Obviously, you want to make sure that they're going to be of a decent size by that time. Now, as I have already mentioned, the carrot seeds are one of the slower seeds to germinate, but you can help this a little bit by soaking them. If you soak them in water overnight, the day before you're going to sow them, then that will help them germinate that little bit quicker. It will gain you a few days. So they will take around 2 weeks to germinate. So a great tip that I got from the Encyclopedia of Country Living by Carla Emery, a book I've spoke about on this show before. A great tip that I love using now is to actually mix in some radish seeds with your carrot seeds. Now, the reason for this, because carrot seeds are so slow to germinate, you can plant your seeds and literally 2 weeks later not have anything coming out of the ground yet. They might be just about to germinate at 2 weeks. If you've mixed in some radish seeds, which are the opposite, they are the Formula One race cars off the line for germinating and developing, it means that you're going to be able to have your rows marked. You're going to be able to see where your carrot rows are because you've got these radishes, and you're going to be able to harvest those radishes before they're in the way of your carrots. So that's a lovely tip that I really like to use, and it's going to help for weeding, because particularly in the spring when we're sowing, we all know that that's when lots and lots of our weeds are going to suddenly show themselves. And it gives you a chance to keep on top of the weeds, possibly with a hoe in between the rows, without worrying about hitting your row because you've got it marked with these radish seedlings. So that's certainly something to try if you haven't tried it before. Now, most carrots are going to take between 7 and 12 weeks to mature. There's two types of carrot, really. There's your shallow-rooted carrots and your deep-rooted carrots. And depending on what variety you buy, I mean, it's worth just checking on your seed packet and seeing what they tell you, because the shorter life ones, the ones that are going to be ready in about 2 months, they're generally going to be your shallower rooted carrots, your Chantenay type carrots, and then your bigger, deeper rooted carrots are going to take anything up to 3 to even more months to actually mature. So you definitely want to bear that in mind, and you're going to want to bear that in mind for your soil type as well. We're going to be talking about soil type in a little bit, but just bear in mind that the depth of your carrots is going to be one of the main things really to decide when you're picking a carrot variety. And you're going to want to use that to sway you based on when you're planting. So if you're towards the end of the season and you want to get an extra crop in, then you might want to go for a shallower root, but also based on where you're growing and what sort of medium you're growing in. The next thing I want to say, and it's a mistake so many of us make, and we still make it, I think everyone makes it, unless you're a really hardened gardener or you have a hardened soul, and that is thinning. It's really important to thin carrots, because the nature of carrot seeds means you're going to be planting more than you would plan. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to, even if you make individual little indentations for each seed, you're going to be putting more than one seed into many of them. And I start every year and I get maybe my first 3 seeds in very, very diligently. And then by the end of the row, it really is just a sprinkling, because you give up hope very, very quickly with carrot seeds because they are so tiny. They're almost impossible to manage. So what I tend to do now is I take a pinch and I basically just rub my finger and thumb together and allow that pinch to gradually fall from my finger and thumb as I move along the row, much like I would adding salt to some chips or something like that. So the byproduct of this obviously means you're going to have too many carrots. You're going to have too many coming up through the ground when they do germinate. So you're going to want to thin them. Now, when you thin them, don't be shy and just remember that the thinnings are actually something else you're going to be eating, because it's all edible. You're going to be able to pull that out of some lovely baby carrots and things like that. So don't be shy about thinning them and make sure that you leave at least a couple of inches between your plants and then another 12 inches or so between your rows. This is going to allow your carrot roots to not be in such steep competition with one another and thus increasing your overall yield. So definitely don't be shy with thinning. However you feel about it, it's worth it in the long run. And the carrots don't mind. They want to be eaten and they don't care what size you eat them at. So you're not doing anyone any favours by leaving all of those plants in the ground. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficientherb. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. So again, for sowing, a general rule of thumb is the smaller the seed, the shallower you sow. And that's true for carrots, just like it is for most things. So you only need to be about 1/4 inch deep, and that's about 1 centimetre or less. What we tend to do is I would literally just make a very, very, very shallow little trough in the top of our bed in a line where I want to plant. And then I would just pull a little bit of our compost mulch over the top and water them in. It really is really simple, the planting part. Now, carrots are something you're going to want to direct sow. Because you're growing a root vegetable, it is this big tap root that we're going to be harvesting. They're not particularly keen on being moved, but also because of the 2-week germination time and everything else, you don't gain anything really by trying to bring them on undercover. So it's much easier just to plant them out direct sow into the ground and go from there. Now, carrots are one of the amazing crops that we're able to succession plant due to the short-ish time that they take to mature. So when it comes to succession planting, the same with everything, it's going to come down to how many you use. So you might want to plant 10 carrots a week. So you might do 20, say, every 2 weeks, or you might want to plant 40 carrots a week. It's going to depend exactly on how you're going to use them, and also whether you're planning on growing enough just to use while they're in season, or whether you want to store some. But succession planting is certainly something we try to use when we can, and carrots are definitely something that you can. Storing carrots is something that is actually quite simple, and it's something that should inform our succession planting. So when we have a crop like carrots, where we can really decide when we're going to get our gluts, because we can plant a small amount very, very often, and we can decide at what point through the season we want to plant a bigger crop, which are going to be our preserving carrots, if you like. So it means we're able to plan around it so that we're preserving our carrots when we might not be as busy as we are at other times. So that's certainly something to think about when you're planning your planting season. Now, for storing carrots, you can store them three ways, really. You can freeze them, you can dehydrate them, and you can use a root cellar. Now, the root cellar is actually going to give us two different options, so I'll leave that one till last. Let's start with dehydrating. Now, carrots will dehydrate really well if you slice them fairly thinly and use a dehydrator to obviously dry them out. Then you can just bring them back to life by adding them to boiling water and cooking them as you would normally. There's, in my experience, there's a small payment to be made in the actual overall flavor and texture, but it's very, very small, and most people wouldn't notice unless they were looking for it. So they do dehydrate very well. The other way is to freeze them. Now, you can freeze your small carrots whole, or you can slice them, cube them, do whatever you want, but they will need blanching. And blanching, what it does, it basically affects the makeup of the cell walls and the moisture that's within the carrot. Because when you freeze a carrot, a whole carrot, what's going to happen is the water molecules within the cells are going to expand, and they're going to burst the cell walls. What this means is when you come to defrost your carrot, it is going to lose a lot of its texture. It's going to be a little bit rubbery and just not very appealing. So carrots are definitely one that you will want to blanch. The final storing method that I mentioned is a root cellar. Now, I mention root cellars quite a lot because they're such a great way of storing things, particularly root crops, hence the name. Now, traditionally, a root cellar would actually be a cellar, just somewhere at the side of your house, dug into the ground, but it doesn't have to be quite as elaborate as that. Our root cellars are just things like dustbins that we've buried in the ground. By storing things below ground, what we're doing is we're removing a lot of the temperature fluctuations. We're taking away the extreme heat in the middle of summer days, and we're taking away the extreme cold in the winter as well. The temperature below ground, you'll probably have noticed, even when you get a really hard frost, if you dig that top layer of soil away, you don't have that hard frost lower down, because the temperature lower down is far more consistent, and that's what we're looking for from our root cellar. So you can store carrots for months in a root cellar, so long as you keep them dry. One of the best ways of storing them is actually in between layers of something like sawdust. So you would have a small layer of sawdust, then a layer of carrots, small layer of sawdust, layer of carrots. And these act as moisture traps, if you like. So any moisture that does happen to get in there is trapped by the sawdust to a degree, and it's going to help your carrots stay nice and dry and dark and consistently cool. So root cellars are fantastic. I said that this was a double way of doing it, actually, storing root cellars, because the other one is to leave them in the ground. Now, your carrots at the end of the season, I'm not talking about in the middle of the season, but at the end of the season, you can actually leave your carrots in the ground and they'll be quite happy there, even over a frost or two. And you can be digging them up right through till around January. Now, you don't want to leave them in until the following spring because your carrot will have decided that it's year two and it will start turning all of those sugars into energy that it's going to send up into the stem. And it will turn woody and unpalatable. So you don't want to leave it too late, but you can certainly leave your carrots in the ground until Christmas time and even a little bit past. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self-Sufficient Hub group and the Self-Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. Now, everything I've spoke about so far has been about direct sowing your carrots into the ground. And that is certainly a good way of doing it, but you can also grow carrots in containers. Now, carrots will grow really well in containers, and we have moved to container growing our carrots because we have really heavy clay soil. Now, you can use carrots in a no-dig method perfectly well, particularly if you have nice sandy soil. The type of soil that you have is going to have a huge impact on the shape and size of your roots, basically, because they're going to choose the route of least resistance, no pun intended. What I have done in the past to great results is actually use a crowbar, and I've dived that crowbar down into the ground and wiggled it around to make this amazing hollow shape that I want my carrot to take up. And then I filled that with very, very loose compost and planted on top of that. Now, that works fantastically well, but it's a little bit labor intensive, and it gets back to that issue with separating our seeds as well. So we don't do that anymore, but it's certainly a method you could try. What we do now is we tend to use a container about a foot deep, and we fill it with really, really loose compost, and we just sprinkle our seeds on top and then put another dusting of compost on the top of that. Now, we obviously thin that, just like I've been telling you, but what happens is, because everything in there is really, really loose, our carrots just form these lovely, big, thick, straight roots, and it's just, in our experience, the simplest way of growing. The other thing to bear in mind is that carrots don't actually need a particularly rich soil. So by growing our carrots in a container full of compost, what's happening is we are growing our carrots, and then we're going to take that compost that is sort of semi-spent, but it's not going to have had many of the nutrients taken out of it, and we're going to use that as compost to mulch our beds with next year. So that's how we do it. That's how we put everything into our cycles and our systems. And it's certainly something that I would recommend. Like I say, our results have been really, really good. With regards to pests, there's really only one that we get here in the UK. And obviously, wherever you are, that might be different. But the carrot fly is the biggest problem. Now, the carrot fly tends to have a twice a year life cycle, and it tends to come out first around May. And what it will do is it will literally eat down into the roots of your carrots, and it will stay in there chomping away quite happily on the food that was destined for your table. And then around late summer, early autumn, it will have a second cycle where those initial carrot fly have bred, and the second influx, if you like, will come. Now, carrot flies work predominantly on the sense of smell. So it's really super important when you're harvesting your carrots, particularly around this time. So early summer and then again late summer are the two times where they're most prevalent. Really, really important not to damage your roots while you're digging them up. Because if you are harvesting, say, 10 carrots from a nice long row and you snap one, then the carrot fly is actually going to pick up on that scent and it will infest your entire row in no time. So they are a devastating pest, And the easiest way to avoid them is just to make sure that you're not damaging any of your crops. So we will put a nice long hand trowel down the side to loosen the ground all around our carrots if they're being sown directly in the ground. And we do everything we can basically to ensure we get them all up in one go, because the last thing we want to do is to snap it and have that scent release and act like a honing beacon for carrot fly. So definitely bear that in mind. That wraps up our carrot episode. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I will speak to you on Wednesday. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.